This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome into a Thursday afternoon in the big city. Evan and Tiki, Tiki Barber, Evan Roberts with you for the next 4.5 hours. We'll get to the Mets later. They're in the midst of a day game against the Diamondbacks. The Yankees have an off day. We'll discuss the Fugazi kerfuffle from last night down in Baltimore. Former NFL quarterback Alex Smith will stop by. We'll talk a little Jackson Dart, a little Shedeur Sanders. Bantiki will stop by. But I've got to do something I never thought I would ever do. I've got to do something I don't even want to do. But I have listened to this radio station for 24 hours. I have listened to Tiki Barber. I have listened to Chris McMonagle. I heard Greg Giannotti. I heard BT. And I get it. I understand why they are negative about the New York Knicks. But what really drove me to this is the eyes of Tommy Lugauer. I've looked into this man's eyes. I've known him for a very long time. And whether he admits it or he doesn't believe. And that is why today, May 1st, 2025, I do want to thank Tommy Lugauer because this experience would never have happened without him. Today, I am here to save the New York Knicks.
Oh, Lord.
As is my character I created, simply called Positive Evie. Positive Evie is here to remind you that the Knicks won 51 games this year. Positive Evie is here to remind you that Jalen Brunson is a playoff god. And while he wasn't good in Game 5, when does Jalen Brunson have back-to-back bad playoff games? I am here to remind you as Positive Evie that the Pistons haven't won a home playoff game since the Obama administration. And I'm talking about the first one. Positive Evie is here to remind you that the Knicks are better than the Detroit Pistons. I'm here to remind you that when the Knicks got punched in the face in Game 2, they responded with their most complete postseason effort in Game 3. Positive Evan is here. Evie is here to remind you that no matter what BT says, and I get it, no matter what Gio says, and I get it, no matter what Tommy believes, and I get it, I feel bad for these people because they don't believe. I believe. Positive Evie believes. And if you all just get the positivity together, guys, we will advance out of Game 6 in Detroit. Tiki, do you follow Positive Evie?
I mean, hope and dreams don't mean guys are going to play well. Hope and belief and Positive Evie, why not Evan? Positive Evie
why?
Doesn't mean Tom Thibodeau is going to put the right combination of players on the court or call the right offensive plays so that maybe he runs some pick and rolls with the big guys. Or maybe he put two bigs on the court for once in the series or twice in the series. Right? I think the positivity is positively negative.
Why?
Because
they won 51 games.
This team feels so flawed lately. It feels so incomplete. It feels so non-congruent. You used that word yesterday, and I like it. No one feels like they're on the same page. And I'm talking players and players and players and coaches. And so you can believe that the Knicks are going to win. By the way, I believe the Knicks are going to win this series. I predicted Knicks in six before the series started. I still believe that's going to happen, but it's not going to make me feel better about the Knicks. It's not going to make me feel like, oh, all of a sudden they can make a run and maybe surprise the Boston Celtics.
Before this Pistons series, yes,
there were Knicks fans who believed we were going to get right, flip the switch, handle the Pistons. Even if it takes five and it's a gentleman's sweep, we're going to do it. We're going to get to Boston, and we're going to find a way to conquer the demon. And now there is not a Knicks fan you can find that still believes that that's
well,
the case.
They're dudes! Positive Evie has said nothing about the Boston Celtics. Positive Evie is here for one day only, and that is closing out the Pistons.
So that means you're trolling.
No, I'm not trolling. I'm talking about tonight. Like, I'm not talking about Saturday. I'm not talking about Monday in Boston. I'm not talking about a fantasy Eastern Conference Finals against Cleveland. I'm talking about tonight. Mm. Because simply I ask the Knicks fan. I'm talking about one night. Knicks fans, are you winning tonight? Knicks fans, are you closing the door tonight? Because if you don't close the door tonight, we enter territory that we're not used to.
Right.
And that is playing a seventh game at home after having a 3-1 lead. This is a franchise that has blown one 3-1 lead in its history, and we all know it's got an asterisk next to it.
Right.
We all do. That was the whole kerfuffle. I'm going to use that word a few times today. That was a real brawl, like a man's brawl. Obviously, the Knicks Heat series from 1997, where guys came off the bench, and you had multiple suspensions that affected them in Game 6 and Game 7. So we all know that that 3-1 blown lead features at least an asterisk next to it.
Right.
I'm not talking about anything other than tonight. And I do believe, not to troll, not to just steal Tommy's bit, though that's kind of fun. I do actually believe that despite all the negativity you have, and a lot of it is fair, I think tonight you close them out. Because I think sometimes through the negativity, we forget what this team is capable of doing.
It's easier said than done, I think. I think it's easy to say, oh, yeah, the Knicks are going to close them out tonight. They're going to take care of business.
Yes.
But do you actually believe that they're going to do it?
Yes, I do.
I thought they were doing it in Game 5.
I did, too.
They had every reason, every opportunity at home to just run away with this series and beat the Pistons and put them back in the, whatever, their developmental mindset. Mm-hmm. We know that they actually are. But they played, I don't know, they didn't play great.
But that was 2 days ago. What does that have to do with tonight?
Because what I just saw.
In every game it feels like
this Knicks team, who is better than this Pistons team, we know that they are, played down to their opponent, and that's not a good thing.
Every game is a different story. This is a Knicks team that used a 21-0 run to turn Game 1 eventually into a romp. This is a Knicks team who, in a hostile environment in Game 3, after what was a bad Game 2 loss, played their most complete game in the postseason. Karl Anthony Towns responded on the Detroit Pistons floor at Little Caesars Arena.
Right.
Remember when, maybe not you, but we all doubted his toughness after he was basically hiding in the corner in Game 2? So I have every reason to believe for this one game, for this one night, that they will respond. And I go back to the king. I go back to Jalen Brunson. Look, we all know Jalen Brunson did not play his best game in Game 5. In fact, it was his worst game.
Right.
Probably his worst postseason performance we've seen. That's not happening again. And you know what else isn't happening again? Tom Thibodeau isn't going to be caught with his pants down again with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. Can't get on the floor in the final 2 minutes of the game. It's not happening again. I also saw OG Anunoby. I know it gets forgotten because, well, the Knicks lost. But OG Anunoby played a very complete game number 5. Mm. His defense has been outstanding. And quite frankly, Cade Cunningham hasn't gone off yet.
Right.
Like, I haven't seen Cade Cunningham dominate a series the way a young superstar can. I have every reason to believe, despite all the negativity, despite some Knicks fans looking ahead to the Boston series or looking ahead to the offseason, it's not about the offseason tonight. It's not about Boston tonight. It's about avoiding a disaster of having to play a Game 7 at Madison Square Garden because no one wants it. Like, I know Tommy's excited about the idea of going to a Game 7. He doesn't want a Game 7. That will be the most.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Most tense Madison Square Garden has ever been, or at least the most tense it's been in two decades with this franchise. No one wants it.
No.
No one wants to go down the road of the Knicks flirting with blowing a 3-1 lead to the Pistons. And the way to avoid that is to walk into the Little Caesars Arena tonight against a team you're better than, and I believe they are, and most people believe they are, and reminding us that they do have a toughness that sometimes we forget about. And I get why the negativity is out there. I understand it. I'm here to tell you it ain't going to happen tonight.
Right.
I'm here to remind you that I will lead you. So, Tommy, get behind me.
Dogs.
Positive energy is here for you.
Fine speech.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I worked on it all night last night.
Number one, you're a schmuck. Number two.
What?
You see it in my eyes. I told you last week that this team is day to day. And what I saw in that last game gives me great pause. Now, I do believe all the pressure in the world is on the Pistons tonight, and all the pressure in the world will be on the Knicks in Game 7. So I do agree with you, this is the night to close it out. But there's a crack in the foundation. There is.
What?
Because this team, every time you want to put your hopes and dreams in their lap, they basically spit in your face and they give you a nothing performance. And you bring up Brunson, and look, he could drop 40 tonight, absolutely. But I told you in game one, I think he's hurt. I think he's shown you that every single game. And I worry if attrition is rearing its ugly head again. And I worry if he can hold up for the next couple of games. I even worry if he could hold up tonight. He's come out of every single game.
Oh, my God. You're dead. You died.
No, that's not true.
Tommy's
dead.
Day
to day. I'm not dead. I'm unkillable.
Did you just hear his voice?
I did.
He's basically given up.
Why are you quitting?
I'm not quitting. I've never once quit, but I'm pointing out reasons for, let's call it, cautious optimism. Mm. That's what I am.
I didn't hear any optimism in anything you just said.
Yeah, I told you all the pressure was on the Pistons tonight. It's a young team, and it's not a closeout game for them, but it will feel like that when they get there, and it's Jared Goff, and it's Dan Campbell, and anybody else, somebody they could find that's not really played on the Pistons, like Jalen Rose. I don't know why he's there. I know he's from Detroit, but he didn't play on the Pistons. They will feel that pressure of, man, we could force a game seven. And that's where you could see a young team, much like in game one, crack under that pressure. But there is, you're smiling, but you know what I'm speaking is truth. You just are smiling that it's coming out of my mouth.
No, you're scared.
I'm not scared
this
at all.
Is, everything you just said is why Positive Evie has to debut today. And it's a one-night-only thing. Right? Positive Evie's dead after tonight. I tell you that right now. He's going to be killed. I mean, this is a one-day thing. But I hear it in your voice. I mean, your positivity is dead. You don't even believe in the King anymore. You don't even believe in Jalen Brunson anymore.
I think he's hurt. And I think he showed you that.
Well, I mean, everybody feels like they're hurt. That's the problem.
Well, at this point in the NBA season, it's May 1st. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's banged up. Yeah, look at the Celtics.
Everybody's not. I mean, well, the Celtics are different because I think they're...
Everybody's hurt. Jason Tatum's banged up. Jalen Brown's banged up.
I think they're marginally hurt, and they're just kind of chilling because they can and still beat the Orlando Magic.
Yes.
It's different than what the Knicks are going through, where Jalen Brunson's got an ankle injury and where Josh Hart has a wrist injury.
But Jalen Brunson's only one game removed from reminding you who he is. Like, we forget that. He had an off game five. Absolutely.
Right.
And it didn't help. What really didn't help is we never got to even see him in the final few minutes of the game because he was stuck at the scorer's table.
Right.
So how do we know what Jalen Brunson would have done in those final 2 minutes with two or three shots that instead went to Campaign and Mikal Bridges? We didn't see it.
No, I know.
So I get that he's banged up And it sucks that the Madison Square Garden floor had something to do with that. But if you ask me going into game six tonight what I'm confident about, one of the things I'm really confident about is that Jalen Brunson is going to give you that superstar clutch fourth quarter kind of effort. It's something we've seen throughout his Knicks career, and it's something that despite the ankle issue, I think we're going to see tonight. And I still believe that's the difference because Cade Cunningham's a really nice, good young player. And at times he gets into a rhythm going downhill, getting contact, getting to the line, but he doesn't take over a game the way Jalen Brunson has. And that's the difference in another closeout opportunity. The Knicks have a guy on the floor that can take over. I haven't seen Cade Cunningham take over a game in this postseason, and I don't believe that's going to change.
He's not that guy yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Eventually he's going to be, but he's not that guy yet.
So instead of, because what I heard from you, Teak, and you, Tommy, is, well, Jalen's hurt. Okay, he's hurt. I think he drops 40 tonight. Are you telling me he's going to give you another 4 for 16 from the field? Is that what you guys are saying?
I would lean more towards the 40 points, but I can't sit here and confidently say, yeah, he's definitely going to do that because he's injured.
I can. Jalen Brunson is injured. And to quote your head coach, he'll put the cape on tonight and give you that superstar performance. And you know why he will? Sean may not like this. Because he's the king. And that's what kings do. And that's what he has done as a superstar player in this town. He will save you tonight. I firmly believe that. And I was wrong. I thought they'd win in five. But I, for the life of me, cannot see us sweating out a game seven at Madison Square Garden. And remember, this Knick team did this,
this
last
is where
year.
Why can you not? This is where it becomes
because last
this
year.
This is where it becomes strong.
He didn't see a game six either, and yet here we are.
Because last year, with a 3-1 lead in a closeout game at Madison Square Garden, the Knicks collapsed, right? They blew a game five in epic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And they responded in Philadelphia 2 days later against a Sixers team with more playoff experience.
Yeah,
and quite frankly, a Sixers team that was better.
I don't know.
Well, I disagree.
I think that was a Sixers team that was a little fugazi.
The only thing tougher about this Piston team than that Sixers team is Tobias Harris is actually, like, better.
You know what, Evan? I'm glad you brought up that series because, to me, this is that series last year against Philly is this series, but in reverse. We're the Sixers. I think that it is creeping in the players' heads that, oh, boy, we have no shot against Boston, and you have a Detroit team that's spunkier that maybe wants it a little bit more. Mm. That's just what's creeping in my brain. I hope I'm wrong. Sitting here saying that that's going to happen, but I'm going to be honest with you. That's what's going through my head right now.
I don't think positive Evie is working.
No, it's not even about me anymore. You're more broken than I thought you were. Because now we've got Tommy comparing the dudes and dogs to the fraud 76ers. That's where we are less than a year later. That they're Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers?
Well, I mean, they should have closed this series out. So it's easy to see why Knicks fans are going that way. Like they're falling down in this hole because they don't believe it. You got to show it. You got to prove it to make us believe it. And they haven't done it yet. And I know it was really only one game because game four was a great win in Detroit. But game five should have ended.
So game five killed your confidence, all of you?
Of course it did.
Jeez.
And it killed your confidence in every way.
But it's a best of seven series. You're letting that game just crush your soul?
So a game that where you need to just go dominate. Jalen Brunson has his worst game. Cat has his worst game. Mikal Bridges didn't play great, and Tom Thibodeau was terrible. So, like, what you going to feel positive after that?
Wow.
Like, how do you feel positive after that?
I've never, since the tanking days, I have never encountered a more broken fan base than the Knicks fan base right now. I tried. I'm trying my hardest to talk you guys back up into why you're going to close this team out tonight. And all I'm getting from you, Teak, and from you, and Tommy, is, yeah, we suck. We're dead. We're not tough. We're the 76ers. Sean, you got to be stunned by this, too.
I can't believe that this is where we're at. I believe in the Knicks tonight like you, Evan.
Thank you.
I can't imagine a game seven when you lead a series 3-1. You have the king of New York. You make that trade. Evan, I don't know. I close my eyes, and I picture Aaron Judge hitting a grand slam and chance of let's go Knicks as Mikal Bridges is traded. And Knicks fans, that confidence that oozed, then the trade for Karl-Anthony Towns, that confidence that continued to ooze. It's all right. You know what? We understand we're not better than Boston. These are the measly Pistons, guys. You guys were already won three.
A real Net fan.
No.
They're a better basketball team than you and Evan want to give them credit for.
The Jalen Brunson injury is nothing new. something they've been dealing with. They still have figured out a way to win three games, okay, throughout this series like this. You're asking for one more gutsy effort to get you across the finish line. It doesn't have to be in blowout fashion. These are the Pistons. They haven't been here before. This isn't their gut check moment
which I laid out before.
I think also the other thing that matters for Knicks fans is it feels like, all right, so we get through. Then what? We get swept?
But you can't think about that yet. I totally get your point, and I know that tomorrow may be that uncomfortable conversation, right? If the Knicks win tonight, which I expect them to do, it's a weird transition from, hey, we advance, that's cool, third straight year in the second round, morphing right into, we can't compete with Boston. And I get what you're saying, and what I would tell you, Teak, is don't worry about that till Monday.
Enjoy the ride while you have it.
Yeah, and you know why that's important to do? See, you can mock me for being a Net fan, but I also bring perspective that you guys forgot about. Being in the postseason with a 3-2 lead is kind of special.
Right.
And you guys better than anyone should know that. Because how many times in the last 20 years have you been in this position? It's been recent, but before that it was non-existent. And so now, I don't know what happened over these 2 years, you've become so freaking jaded that your answer, Teak, if you represent a lot of Knicks fans in saying so, which is, yeah, we may win tonight, but hot geez, Boston's going to wipe us anyway.
But
get there first!
Okay, but the reason that Knicks fan feels that way is because of how they played against the Detroit Pistons. It's how the ineptness at moments in this series shows you that you're just not ready to be where you are. They're just not.
But you're overthinking it.
I'm not overthinking
it. You are. You're not wrong with what you're saying, but you're overthinking. Win the series. Advance. It's special. And the Knicks are in position to do that tonight. Instead of overanalyzing, we didn't win game one by enough. We didn't win game three by enough. Who cares?
It's special because when they get to the second round and get knocked out again, then you and Sean and all the coalition of Knicks haters.
Don't worry about that.
Are just going to say, you just hit your ceiling anyways.
Listen, don't worry about the haters. Worry about what's in front of you. And what's in front of you tonight, Knicks fans?
It's hard.
Focus. I'm here to help you. Focus on tonight. You're a win away from going to the second round of the playoffs. So I ask you politely, listen to Tiki, listen to Tommy, but truly listen to Positive Evie. Because tonight is your night, bro.
Nobody trusts Positive Evie.
Well, you know what? At the end of the night, I'll be laughing. Actually, I won't be laughing, but I'll be right.
Exactly.
We'll get to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Plus, there was a two-minute report from Game 5.
That was a Freudian slip, by the way.
Was it? There was a two-minute report from Game 5, and what if I told you there was one missed call, and the missed call simultaneously helped and screwed the Knicks all at the same time? We'll explain coming up. The Yankees lose 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. Alex Smith will stop by. Ben Tiki will stop by. But before we get to your positive New York Knicks telephone calls, the two-minute report for Game 5 came out. And I know there's not a lot of attention paid to it because there wasn't a call that we're all looking at.
Right.
But what if I told you that the league admitted there was an incorrect call, that it could have changed everything about this game and bailed Tom Thibodeau out? So when Karl Anthony Towns blocked Jalen Duren at the basket with 1:01 to go as a clean block, the league is ruling that it wasn't a clean block. Towns makes illegal contact to Duren's arm prior to the contact with the ball, affecting Duren's shot attempt near the rim. It was an incorrect call. They should have called a foul. So you'd say, well, Ev, the Knicks got a break. What's the issue? Did they? If the foul is called with 1:01 to go, yes, Jalen Duren, a 69% free throw shooter, goes to the line.
Which is a good thing for the Knicks.
Sure. It's not Kate Cunningham.
Exactly.
But it also allows the Knicks, with 1:01 to go, to sub in Jalen Brunson and then sub in Josh Hart.
Which is also a good thing for the Knicks.
How about that?
I think it's all good.
Well, it should have
been all good. The only bad thing is that they didn't call it.
So the incorrect call that benefited the Knicks screwed the Knicks.
Right.
Is really what we're getting at here.
Should have benefited the Knicks. Screwed the Knicks.
A call that benefited the Knicks actually was a horrible break because it should have helped the Knicks and should have allowed Tom Thibodeau to rightfully so reinsert two of his better players and clearly the best clutch player in the NBA this season. How fascinating is that? That two-minute report is one pain in the ass, isn't it?
I'm surprised you read it. Who the hell reads a two-minute report when there's no controversy?
Losers like me.
Exactly.
Well, I was just curious. I love the two-minute report. I do, because it's interesting, especially the times where no one talks about it, right? Because no one was paying attention. Well, it was a close game. You're telling me there wasn't an incorrect call in the final 2 minutes that could have changed things? Well, in this case, it could have. Now, let's get to your calls. I'm positive about the Knicks tonight. I've even created a character, a very original idea, called Positive Evie. And for whatever reason, that is not winning over Tiki, and it's not even winning over Tommy, who seemed very, very negative about the Knicks and their current situation. And their current situation is this. Win tonight, and they advance to the second round of the playoffs for the third consecutive year. Lose tonight, and, well, we're going to have clenched anatomies Saturday night at Madison Square Garden. A game in which I'm very excited to announce I'll be in the building for. Big Show Bob will be there. And quite frankly, I don't want to go there. I have other things I'd rather do on a Saturday. So take care of business tonight and free me up to have a date night with my wife. Let's go to Chris in Monmouth County to lead things off. How are you, Chris?
Hey, Evan, how are you? Thanks for taking the call. Hi, Tiki. Hi, Shaw, Tommy, as always. Evan, I got to make an announcement. An announcement has not been made yet that you're going to be shocked by, but you shouldn't be. And a couple Nick points here. Evan, you are not the self-proclaimed Nick hater head of the coalition. Your partner, Tiki, is. He is a secret Nick hater. He has not been optimistic at all for good reason. This has been a weird season this year. The love is like for that team is not there all the way.
No, it's not.
It's Tiki.
But
Tiki,
Chris, I love you. Chris, I want to. The problem is they're not convincing me to.
Tiki, I'm with you. They're not convincing me either. My God, I'm screaming at the TV all day long.
I know it.
But what I'll say, and I love you to death, but you're a Nick hater. Evan, I'm with you, and I'm with Tommy here. Tommy's right. There's something about Knicks this year that they're more like that, like the Sixers team against the Pistons than we are. But to your point, I love it. I love April basketball in the playoffs. I want to see the Knicks play. But I have a question for you, Evan.
Yes, you can ask me anything.
Karl-Anthony Towns. And by the way, you know I was right on Randall. We should have kept Randall all the way. And I told back to my 5 years ago. Right. So anyway, listen, and I love that LeBron is out. Why don't they play him back to the basket, Karl-Anthony Towns, like old school? Because there was a game against end of the season where he was scored at will.
I agree.
They're not utilizing him in a way where let him shoot the three when he's open, let him make some crazy skyhook shots, but get him to the basket. He's a good player that
Dude,
way,
I
and
think,
we can take
Chris,
advantage.
Chris, to your point, I think sometimes he's unstoppable when he's playing back to the basket. The beauty of Karl-Anthony Towns is he can beat you many different ways, including that way. I think there's a few, and this is really a lot of the criticism Tom Thibodeau is facing. There's a lot of questions about the way this offense is being running. They're not running enough pick and rolls with Jalen and Kat, which was effective throughout this season. They're not being more aggressive with Kat down low, where
right.
he can be effective, draw doubles, and find a Mikal Bridges wide open. Like, there's a lot of things about this offense that just doesn't make sense because they've got the talent, as we saw early in the season, to be a high efficient offense.
Yeah,
we saw it earlier
but
in
it's
the season.
Not, I feel like the issue, and this is why I'm down on them, is it's not utilized well enough. They're not coached correctly. They're not putting the right combination of players on the court. It feels like there's more to be gained from this collection of talented players instead of what we're seeing on a daily basis and a night-to-night basis. And I think part of that is because Tom Thibodeau is stubborn. He knows what he wants to do, and it's Jalen Brunson wearing himself out, getting run into, getting knocked around, and creating and being clutch as he is. But sometimes you got to go to plan B, and he rarely does that.
Let's go to Vernon in Atlanta, Georgia. What's up, Vernon?
Kiki, I'm not going to call you a hater. Tommy, I'm disappointed in you.
Disappointed?
Going?
I'd rather you say you're mad at me, Vernon. Disappointed, you sound like my parents when I failed
okay.
math class.
I'm mad at you.
There
I'm
you
mad
go.
At you. But listen, Ed, you're going to have to start calling me Positive Vernon. Like, when we win the whole thing, then y'all call me King Positive Vernon, right?
I like that.
I'm serious, man. Yeah. I'm serious. The Knicks gonna win, man. Y'all stop, man. This team is just built together this year, and things are going to get better. It's just we got a coach that don't have a brain. So the players got to play without him. They got to get out there and do their own thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but Vernon, I can't call you Positive Vernon if you're basically saying the coach is brainless, so the players just have to figure out on their own.
That's not going
to
happen.
If that's the case, they're going nowhere.
Yeah, bold strategy, Cotton. You need a brain as a coach.
Like, if that's the strategy, you got no chance against Joe Mazzulla and the Boston Celtics. Like, you just don't. So I would hope if you're being positive, you have a little bit more faith that Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks, one time tonight in Detroit, can execute a game plan well enough to advance, get 3 days off, and then get set for a series where the expectation game is completely different.
They do damage.
Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. Mario.
Hey, how you doing? Great show as always, guys.
Appreciate it. What's up?
Yeah, so a little bit about what you're saying. Yeah, I think the Knicks are going to have a good game. But talking about Cade Cunningham, like you're saying that he's going to be really good, I think the trouble with him, if you really look at it, is turnovers.
Yes.
You know how many turnovers he has in the first
five
games?
He's turning the ball over six, seven times a game. It's a big
exactly.
issue.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing, I think while he'll never be a closer like Brunson, when you're a guard and you're 6'6" or 6'7", your dribble is a little high. It's easier to knock it away from a taller guy. When you're smaller, you're closer to the ground.
Well,
so
in defense of Cade Cunningham, and I'm getting on him in terms of what I expect tonight in a game six, he's 23 years old in his first playoff series. So if you're talking or I'm talking about what I expect from him 2 or 3 years from now, I have a higher view of him than you do. I think he's going to be a superstar in this league. I think there will be playoff games down the road he takes over. I'm just telling you, at 23 years old, he's in his first 5 postseason games. We haven't seen that yet. And nor do I expect that to happen in a game 6 tonight in Detroit. So forget about what he's going to be 3 years from now. I have high hopes for him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about tonight.
Right.
I'm talking about, can Cade Cunningham be the best player on the floor in a game in which his team is facing elimination?
I hope not.
And I don't think he will be. And it's not that he's been bad in this series, but he hasn't been Jaylen. He's shooting 25% from three. He's turning the ball over a lot. He hasn't taken over a game the way a superstar can. And I think he will have his day. Like, for example, can I see him having that day next year in this hard-fought first-round series against Giannis Antetokounmpo mm-hmm. and the Brooklyn Nets? Sure!
Right.
It probably will happen. But right now, it won't.
No, it won't. Because he's not. He just hasn't had enough experiences to do that yet. Now, eventually, he will. We know it's going to happen. I just hope it doesn't happen or start tonight. And that could happen. You could see him.
I don't think so.
I'm saying it's going to. I'm just saying it could happen. You never know with these young players. When they have their moment to figure it out, it could be at any of those moments.
Yeah. I told you when his moment's going to be. It's going to be next year against a different team.
Yeah, because you're positive heavy today.
That wasn't positive for my team. Trust me on that. I think the scenario I just painted is actually horrible. Let's go to Josh in Queens. Hey, Josh.
Hey, if they called the foul on Cat, he would have fouled out.
Would you take that trade-off at that point, knowing you return Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, potentially Mitch re-enters the game, or would that not have been worth it?
It would have been worth it, but Mitch was also at 5. Also, I think we should switch it from positive Evie to delusional Evie.
Delusional, wow.
Well, hold on, we already have a delusional Tommy, too.
Nice.
Right, positive Tommy, delusional Tommy.
This is not an optimistic show about the Knicks.
I'm trying.
No, it's very optimistic. We have positive Evie, and I have a question for positive Evie.
Of course.
Positive Evie, have the Knicks been outplayed in this series?
I think for the most part they have. I think the Pistons have probably been the better team over these five games.
How about the regular season?
I don't care about the regular
season. Okay, but it has translated into the series.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I know that you can use that to back your point. I do respect that because it's tough for me to kind of argue that. But just in general, like, I don't look at regular season games and say it has a lot of a bearing on what happens in the postseason. But you are right that the Pistons were the better team in the regular season. I don't put a lot of stock
in
it.
Evan,
I put a lot of stock in the five games we watched.
You are the king of backup plans. You famously will park your car at Citi Field, take the train here. You map out everything.
Yeah.
If plan A doesn't go through with the Knicks tonight and Jalen can't put the cape on, what is plan B?
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
The plan B for who?
For the Knicks to win the game, positive, Evie. What is plan B? You better have a backup plan. You're leading people here. What's your backup plan?
Are you talking about tonight's game or a potential game 7?
No, tonight.
If Jalen Brunson doesn't put the cape on?
Yeah, if we get game 5.
Well, then you need Karl Anthony Towns from Detroit. Because when Cat went to Detroit in game 3, everyone called him out for how he was hiding in the corner at the end of game 2, and we know what he's capable of offensively, then you need star Karl Anthony Towns.
And we need the basketball to be distributed and everybody to score over 20 points and that chemistry that has brought up. That's what I mean. It's day to day. Some games they show that to you where everybody besides Josh Hart in the starting rotation scores over 20 points, even if JB gets 30. That's where the Knicks are at their best. I understand that Brunson putting the cape on and winning games, it's worked for them, but that is not the strategy for sustained success.
Right, but putting the cape on isn't merely him taking shots that he creates by himself. Sometimes the cape with Jalen Brunson is finding his teammates wide open under the basket like he did Josh Hart when he made a big play with him in the midst of game 4.
Absolutely.
So, like, you can be that superhero without relying on just dropping 40. I'm just telling you, I expect a great performance out of Jalen Brunson. Has he ever really had back-to-back duds in the postseason?
No, and if he does, like I said, it's that ankle, and he can't get push on it, and he can't, because he was missing free throws the other night, too, which is absolutely related to his ankle.
And I think he was 7 for 10, so he missed free throws,
but it wasn't like
he was 2 for 9
or anything. No, he wasn't like, Mitchell Robinson, but he wasn't, spectacular from the line.
Let's go to Alex in New Jersey. Hey, Alex.
Hi, Evan and Original Tiki.
What's up?
I'm just going to put my two cents in it. And listen, you can close your eyes and watch the game because the Knicks offense is the same thing as last year. Brunson, dribble, 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 shot clock expires, and somebody's throwing a shot. No ball movement, no chemistry. And that's the issue with this team. And even if they win today, I won't be excited. Because I know that there's so much more potential with this team, and they're going to need to bring a coach that can actually teach them ball movement and player movement. And until then, this team is not going to reach its full potential.
This team has not reached its full potential. Now, I'm not ready to engage in fire the coach immediately, because they haven't been eliminated yet. When they're eliminated, trust me, it'll become clear to most of us on what they should do and what they shouldn't do. But right now, they're 1-1 away from going to the Eastern Conference semifinals for the third straight year.
Right.
And I get they're going to be big underdogs against the Celtics. I'll raise my hand even today as positive Evie and tell you the Celtics are probably going to smoke them.
Right.
By the way, that's for Monday.
And that's, even if they are the massive underdog, it's almost like there's no expectation. You actually go into those games less anxious than you do going into these Pistons games because you're supposed to lose, right? And so if you're supposed to lose, then who cares? Just go leave it all on the line. It almost becomes easier as a fan when you're supposed to lose.
It is a little bit, but I think still the expectations of this team and of this roster were higher than just getting annihilated in the second round. And I hate to put...
It's hard, though, man, because of who the opponent is.
I get it. They're a tremendous opponent. They're the best team in the NBA, in my opinion. I know the Thunder probably deserve that kind of nod.
Yeah.
But I still look at the Celtics as a team who obviously won a title last year, so they're defending reigning NBA champions, and I look at them as the best team in the league. But I also think you got to get there first. And when you get there, if you do it tonight, you've got 3 days before you have to worry about a best of seven against a team that's better than you. So instead of calling up like our last caller did and saying, even if we win tonight, who the hell cares? What happened to us as sports fans?
Yeah, that I disagree with, Alex.
If you win tonight, you should be happy.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to rain on your parade as a hater.
No.
I'm going to say good for you. You advance to the next round of the postseason.
Okay, so then I'm glad you just said what you just said there, Evan. Because you are being positive, Evie, and you are painting me as negative Tommy. That's fine.
I'm not painting you. You are.
All right.
That's you.
If the Knicks win tonight, positive Tommy's back. I don't want to hear from you on Twitter tonight or tomorrow. Well, Tommy gave up on you.
Well, yeah, but you did.
No. You can't have it both ways,
Sunshine.
That's not
both ways.
Yes, it is. You want it both ways, and that, to me, is unfair.
No, there's no both ways.
Yes, it is.
Tiki, is he giving up?
Yeah.
Thank
you. Like it.
Thank you.
I can't be back tomorrow? You're damn right I can be.
Okay, you can come back tomorrow.
Thank you, Tiki.
You're always the reasonable one. You can come back
tomorrow. I'll call you out, but I'll be reasonable.
Well, that's exactly what I would do. I'm going to call you out.
You're going to call him out and troll.
Well, of course he is.
I'm going to say I told you so. I'm going to say
that's trolling.
24 years
why
old?
Why do that?
Well, because it's
why
true.
Why would a friend do that to someone?
Great question.
Because I'm calling it like it is. As we sit here today on Thursday, May 1st, a lot of you, everyone at this radio station, it's like universal, is basically either giving up or just acting like, whatever, we suck anyway. And so I'm just telling you, it's going to be all right. You're going to be okay. You're going to win tonight. I'm confident of that. Last thing I want to do is be sitting at Madison Square Garden with Tommy on Saturday night.
So I'm in for Saturday?
No, I told you, my friend Patrick is the number one choice. He's a Pistons fan. He's working on flights to come in.
Working on flights to come in? The game's in 2 days.
Here's the problem.
What's he working on?
Here's the problem with my guy.
I hope he's a great frequent flyer.
I think he'll pay because he would be so excited to see a game seven of his basketball team. The problem with my guy right now, and I can't say he represents everybody, but he can represent himself. That's what I always say about myself. This is my opinion. I can't represent every Met fan or every Net fan. But my guy, I spoke to him earlier today. I said, we going to game seven? And he said, I'd love to. I'm working on it, but we're not winning tonight. And I'm like, what? So he is a Piston fan.
He does not
believe in his team.
I got it. He's slow playing this.
I don't know if he's slow. He doesn't believe they're winning.
That's what I mean. So he's slow playing it. He's not getting his ticket. solidifying his plans because he thinks they're losing.
Do you know why he thinks they're losing?
No.
See, sometimes we don't put ourselves in other people's shoes, and I totally get why. Who cares, right? Like, who cares about Detroit? So I'll keep this short because most people don't care, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Detroit Pistons haven't won a home playoff game since 2008. Like, we talk about streaks and things that haven't happened in a while. They haven't won a home playoff game in over a decade and a half. And you know how many home playoff games they've lost during that time, just so there could be a number attached to it? 10! 10! Not 2, not 5, 10! So, of course, if you ask a Piston fan, hey, how you feeling tonight? Game 6, your own building. It's going to be rocking. They just lost Game 3 to the Knicks at home. They lost Game 4 to the Knicks at home. They believe it was the officials' fault. And before that, they also attacked on 8 other home losses. Mm. So the Piston fan doesn't believe. And by the way, that's a part of positive Evie. You got to look at your opponent. Do we think the Detroit Pistons are going to finally get off the schneid and win a home playoff game tonight? Tobias Harris is leading the Cade Cunningham, who turns the ball over more than me when I try to play in the backyard. Do we really think they're going to win a game 6 against King Jalen Brunson of the New York Knicks? I don't buy it.
So you're playing both sides.
I'm not playing both sides. I played the same side.
When you spoke to your buddy on the phone and he said, my team is losing tonight, did you say the Pistons are winning? I'm positive, Evie.
I did not do that.
You're playing politics here. You're playing both sides.
No, I'll answer your question, but I did not do that. When he said that, I tried to not, like, answer. I tried to go back to the flight stuff and the work stuff. I didn't engage in his negativity.
You didn't give a sports opinion.
I did not.
For the first time in your life.
Okay. I did not.
All right.
No, because I let it marinate for him.
Got it.
Like, I'm not going to argue with him. I'm not going to say, oh, I agree with you. He's in a tough place right now. And I understand they're in a complicated place. So I let his opinion kind of live on its own, and I didn't respond to it. So I'm not playing both sides. I'm playing the same side.
Okay, as MSG gets potentially prepared for a Game 7, they may also be prepared for a press conference. According to Vince Mercogliano, LoHUD Sports, the New York Rangers haven't confirmed or announced anything official, but it sounds like they are getting close to hiring Mike Sullivan to become the 38th head coach in franchise history. He who won back-to-back Stanley Cups with the Penguins in 16 and 17, former John Tortorella assistant with the New York Rangers.
How does this make you feel, Sean?
I'm excited. I'm giddy. That's a winner. Guy who's got a little bit of sandpaper, been with the Rangers organization before, and he knows how to handle superstars. He did so in Pittsburgh.
May 1st, 2:49 p.m. Sean Morash, when will Mike Sullivan be relieved of his duties as head coach of the New York Rangers?
2031, after 2 Stanley Cups.
Thank you. Okay, cool. I appreciate that. It'll be after 2 seasons.
2031?
Yeah.
This one's going to stick.
This will be after the 2027 season, after the Rangers get knocked out in the Eastern Conference Finals by the Florida Panthers. That's when that'll happen. No, that's a good hire, though. I mean, the guy's a winner, right?
Yeah. The
hockey coaches
feels
are
a lot like Mike Keenan ahead of 94.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but sure, why not? Look, you're bringing in a head coach that's won a cup before. So from that standpoint, it's tough to ridicule it, but NHL hockey coaches are recycled more than we recycle, recyclables.
I feel bad. They're the most fired quickly head coaches in all of sport.
But Sullivan,
it happens so quick.
10 straight years he just coached the Penguins, though.
Yeah.
Wow. That's some longevity.
There you go. So Mike Sullivan about to be the new head coach of the New York Rangers. I guess we'll find out in a few weeks who the next head coach of the New York Knicks will be. It'll be like a perfect symmetry. Your calls plus Alex Smith, former NFL quarterback, former number one overall pick, will stop by. And is Aaron Judge a cyborg? 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki on a very busy Thursday in New York City.